Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Tough loss against the Chicago Bears in Chicago 24-14. We'll talk about those, red zone trips inside the 10, turning it over four times, whether on downs or crotch fumbles or whatever it was. We'll get into all that. We'll talk about some of the injuries, offensive performance, Jared Goff, Quintez Cephus, of course, Khalif Raymond. Then injuries on the defensive side, Aquara, Will Harris. We'll probably give a little bit of a roasting, but you know how it goes. Anyways, 24-14 loss, but that's all right. We hope you're still drinking your Kool-Aid. Don't stop drinking the Kool-Aid. We'll get into all that, but thank you for listening. So sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog!
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything. We got it here. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, and we'll be talking about everything that happened in week four, and it did not go well for our Detroit Lions. 24-14 loss in Chicago, so we'll be covering all that. But before we do, let's introduce the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get around to the rest. We got Red Dog.
Yo.
Connor.
What up?
Bob.
Hello.
And UJ.
Good evening, stubborn, faithful Lions fans.
That's a good way to put it, because this was another rough one. Shut out again in the first half offensively. Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with getting inside the 10 four times?
I think that's the place to start.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that.
So let's go to the first one, the snap that went to the Bears directly, pretty much.
I've never seen that before.
You mean the dick pic? I'm not kidding. My cousin gave me that one earlier today. My cousin Sean, so I gotta give him a shout out for that one. But I died when he said that.
Yeah, it pounded off the guy's junk right into his arms.
Yeah.
And
what they used to have the butt fumble, like, and now they have the dick pic.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I got a lot of text saying that was like the most Lions play ever.
Yeah, probably. It was up there for sure.
I got a few.
Yeah, just brutal. I mean, the Lions defense, you know, gives up touchdown first drive, and then we're so close to responding, and then that happened. It didn't even seem real because it seemed like someone blew a whistle or something.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? The 49ers did give us the ball on the first play of the season, and that way it just didn't go off, our quarterback's groin. Or their quarterback's growing.
Yeah.
Just fumbled it right on the ground. Made it a little simpler.
Yeah.
Still, brutal. Brutal start to the game. And it kind of encapsulated the other three times, I guess, that we got inside the 10 and couldn't score either. Although it was all different. But the Lions, a bunch of turnovers on downs in this game. And that was really the big difference. I mean, there's other mistakes and stuff throughout the game we can get into.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, not converting on fourth and short, third and short, just really killed them, but especially in the red zone. And, you know, we had those graphics that saying they scored seven straight times in the red zone last game.
Right.
Those should be banned. Those should be banned from television. They should not be allowed to make those. Every time they do that, it breaks a streak.
Yeah, I mean, this is rough. I mean, let's get to the second one, I guess, where we go inside the 10. But yeah, go ahead.
I had the Lions' new theme song. They switched it from forward down the field to.
Mm-hmm. Well, we might have to edit that song in, UJ. I think that's the funeral.
I'm not sure the words.
Is that Taps?
That's Taps.
Of course it's Taps. Oh, it's Taps. Oh, okay.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
well, I can't hear it very well, but yeah.
Don't our like producer can Jay.
We can add Taps in. We can add
hey,
Taps in.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, UJ, why
he's
are you being so dramatic?
This, like, God damn it.
He needs to drink some Kool-Aid.
UJ.
Kool-Aid,
yeah. UJ, why are you being so dramatic?
I'm sorry, but this is
so
devastating. You know what? We have to put this season into true perspective. If we go out there thinking every week they're going to win,
that's what we do, UJ.
I know, but man, it's so hard.
Yeah, what podcast are you on? Come on. Of course we think that every week.
Hey, if you want me to not drink the Kool-Aid, I will give Dan Campbell a D-minus for this game. I think this was his worst coach game.
Here's the thing. This is how I'm seeing this season, because this season does require some context to sort of be a little palatable here. And what I'm seeing is, you know, the beginning of a era, a journey, as, you know, Campbell takes over this team and we go through growing pains. I mean, look at this team. It's a baby. This might as well be an expansion team with the talent we got right now, especially in our secondary. I mean, we have undrafted free agents.
We don't have a secondary.
And then injuries and everything. I mean, yeah, but, like, you got new coaches, new management. This whole organization from top to bottom was just flipped on its head. But what we're seeing now is the chance to, you know, ride the journey up. And I think it's been a rough start. But you know what? The important question is, are we biting kneecaps?
Hey, wait.
We've been knocked down a whole lot.
No. When you're riding the journey up, how does that go with the baby now?
Hey,
it's
like
drop the baby there.
You drop the baby on the ground and you run.
The baby. You know, like a
yeah, but you never finished the analogy.
I don't know.
All right, bring it.
A baby that can. I finished the analogy. It's the journey up. We got to watch these players grow.
Got to raise the kid right. Got to raise the kid right.
We got young players being thrust into the fire, and we're forging some bricks in our secondary right now. Hopefully these guys turn to diamonds eventually, and, you know, we have some real talent there. But we'll probably lose some of these
players.
So the
baby becomes a diamond.
Yes.
And then
a brick.
He's
diamond, then he's high in the sky.
I want to. Let's get to the second one where they get inside the 5-yard line. So first, after a nice pass, Jared Goff actually moved around in the pocket. It was a really good play by him and Cephas working combined to get a 33-yard pass to get into the 5-yard line. Cephas, by the way, really good game out of him this time. Finally targeting wide receivers a little bit. So good things happen when that happens. But anyways, good 33-yard pass to Cephas after Jared Goff moved around in the pocket pretty well. One of the rare times that he's done that. Then an incomplete pass short to the right. And then Swift is dropped for a 2-yard loss. Then Jared Goff just kind of scrambles, nobody open. And then incomplete pass to Swift that got it looked like he was open briefly in the broadcast view, but where Roquan Smith, I believe Roquan Smith is the one. Alec Ogletree is the one that tipped it out of bounds. So the Lions blow a chance there, but then they get the ball back. They stop them 3 plays in a row. They get the ball back in range, and then they fumble after Penei Sewell gets.
He's had a bad couple games.
Being really bad. This is his worst game so far as a professional.
He's okay in the run D, but his pass D leaves a lot to be desired right now. I think.
In this game, he gave up 2 sacks and 7 hurries.
Especially one play, a sack fumble. That was really the most.
Well, these
brutal.
Are like the first couple weeks he's actually got some speed going against him. Like, I feel like the first couple weeks was different, and now he's working with some speedsters.
Yeah, the first week he faced Nick Bosa, and he looked really good. Nick Bosa is more of a power rusher, though, kind of like his brother Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he matched up better. But yeah, Robert Quinn uses speed off the edge a little more, more of the bend and rip that we didn't really see out of Bosa necessarily in the first game.
Yeah. I gotta say too, Quinn is like energized this year. He's here really having a good season, so that's a tough
for the Bears. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, Bears suck, but he's playing really well.
Yeah. So. Hey, here's my biggest sin in this whole thing is that we left points on the field. You know, I know I love the aggression going for things, but you're leaving field goals out there. I mean, 2 or 3 field goals in those possessions, we'd be right in that game at the end instead of being 2 scores down.
Yes.
You know? Why do we never run it?
I think
it
we
on
only left
one.
Technically, only left 3 points out or 6 points by the end
six.
Of the game.
Well, 6 points. Okay, we lost by one.
But, yeah, it was six.
Well,
but
I think what we
and then the other two were fumbles. So
I think what we have to decide is like, is this aggressiveness gonna pay off when the Lions are good, or are these just bad play calls? Because I've seen the debate on both sides.
You know what? We watch Patricia
going.
We watch.
I like the
for
aggressiveness,
years,
though.
Not be aggressive and try to ride that edge of a perfectly managed game where you play everything right by the odds and all by all the statistics. When you just don't have the talent to do it that way, and you just got to make something happen sometimes. And I love that we're just trying. But Campbell's just trying to make something happen. You know, one of those plays goes right. We're in this game. We're jumping out to a lead, or you know what I mean? Like he's playing an edge. He's playing a risky edge, and why the hell not let this team grow and be aggressive, and let's learn how to do that consistently and get good at it.
And the odds do say go for it in every scenario, at least in this game. Mathematically they would say go for it. So
I just don't get why we never run on fourth and one. We always go for some slant route or something, and it
if we're talking about the last one, although it might not have been a bad play call because Cephas is wide open in the middle of the whole defense.
Wide open.
Yeah. And the receiver he threw to was open too. He just missed the throw.
That one's on Goff. And
this is a game that makes you think about Goff for sure.
That's kind of what I wanted to get into a little bit too.
Every game has
Goff
so far, if I'm being honest.
Just in terms of what we're seeing out of him, is this what Goff is? Is he Jekyll and Hyde, kind of? Like, we'll see some great passes, like, at the end of the first half against the Packers to Hockenson in the corner of the end zone. And then he gets some bad passes like that fourth down on the outside. And we've seen that a couple times where a guy's wide open. He just kind of throws.
I don't know.
Not a great one.
I don't know.
I think that's what he is, though. I mean, when things go right for him, he can make good throws. He can throw the ball well. I think his problem is in some of those reads, you know, off the line, like missing Cephas was an easier toss. I mean, he did throw to an open receiver, but sometimes in those rush plays, especially, he goes to his first read. Like,
yeah, because we saw it in on the fourth down against the Packers too. He threw this out again where it wasn't the best stop. There was a guy open in the middle again on a fourth and short.
That was my one problem with the way Campbell did that fourth down. I don't mind him going for it. I probably would have kicked the field goal and tried to get the ball back, but he did call a play that worked. I just hope he keeps this aggressiveness. You know,
and I think he will.
Failures don't, because he's leaving it on the players, which is nice.
That is nice. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. In fairness to Campbell, the fourth down play call is actually Lynn.
And you know,
Campbell just says go for it.
No, I agree with the aggressiveness.
The thing with Goff too, I just want to go back to Goff real quick too, because he is still a very young quarterback. Was he 26 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And he just got thrust into a whole new scene. He's been basically a whole other career college with this other team. Now he's thrust into a new team, new program, new receivers, new everything. And they're all new, too, and they're all learning this new together. So I'm just saying, like, some grains of salt here. He's going to learn to read better the more comfortable he gets in this offense.
I mean, but a lot of the complaints about Goff before were the same things in L.A., though. Like, that's just kind of who he is as a quarterback. It's not like he was magically throwing 60-yard dimes in L.A.
I don't think Stafford was exactly as an ace at this point in his career as we like to remember. I'm not saying he wasn't awesome. He put up stats, and he made some
amazing rooting for
passes.
Goff. I wouldn't say a 26-year-old Goff is better than a 26-year-old Stafford.
No, I wouldn't either. But I'm saying Stafford wasn't exactly all aces and wasn't super consistent. That was, like,
I don't
Stafford
disagree.
10 years ago to Stafford, or like Stafford 5 years ago, like at this point in his career, was a whole different quarterback than what we've seen in the last like 4 years. He's been so much more consistent. And I'm just all I'm saying is Goff.
Well, I kind of disagree.
He's got to keep proving it. I'm not giving him any passes here, but I think he's got to grow, and he's got the rest of the season to do it.
I think he's good enough though of a quarterback. You know, he can obviously win in the playoffs. He's done it before.
Yeah,
and he's a good enough quarterback that we don't have to draft a quarterback next year. I mean, they don't have to reach for a quarterback. They can wait another year to do it if they need
bad
to.
QB class next year too. So
yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I agree
you
with
don't
that.
Have to
maybe
for a quarterback.
I don't think we'd quite know about the quarterback class.
Well, you know what?
I think there's a pretty good consensus that's a bad class next year.
What, I would say
guy from
right
Oklahoma,
now,
maybe. That's.
I was watching Malik Willis highlights today.
If we draft him number one overall, I'll be.
Connor, if,
anyways, we can get that later.
Hey, yeah. If Goff looks the same as he does right now at the end of the season, then yes, we're going to be reaching. But I expect he's going to look a lot better by then.
Yeah, and I'm not. I'm
Cade McNamara. No,
I'm sorry. I'm not impressed with him that much. But to be fair, also, his receiving corps is horrible. And now defenses are just getting all over Hockenson. So his.
What are
you
saying? This receiving corps is
what?
Below NFL. Average, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Unproven still. I'm just saying. I think the thing is they haven't put enough on Cephas. I think they can put more on him and give him more of a routes to some more primary routes and target him more often. I think he has that kind of talent, and I think they're not using it appropriately. Or they're starting to. They were in this last game.
Cephas on an elite offense would be like a really good number three wide receiver, I'd say.
Yeah,
I would
agree.
Best.
Like, I don't know.
But I saw Goff's quote. They're like, you know, what do we have to do to turn it around? He said, we have to get pissed. And I think he has that attitude. I think his teammates have that too. They're going to get pissed. There are a lot of young guys that are trying to prove themselves. So I don't know if they'll be great, but I think they're going to be an interesting offense going forward just with the pieces we have even.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, week two of football is in the books. And now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week three with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet only $1 on any football game. Listen up because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now on your iPhone or Android and place a bet of $1 on any week game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. Its sportsbook is not yet available in your state. That's okay. DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Michigan has online gambling, all right? And it could go right to your phone. So Detroit Lions fans shouldn't have to worry. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TPPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code TPPN. That's a T, two P's, and an N. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
I like the optimism here, by the way. Thanks, you guys, for
good.
Like pulling me back out of my my depression.
Drinking the boring, dull Kool-Aid.
It is depressing to lose, but I was kind of there philosophically this year that we have a losing season.
True.
So. You know, I still think we'll win some games.
You didn't predict a losing season on our early.
I prefer the delusional philosophy where I simultaneously think this is a team in growth that's going to need to take some time, and I expect them to win every game. So it's a fundamentally opposing philosophies or thoughts.
Well, I will say this. Beliefs. You know, if the Lions do somehow get the – and I know we're supposed to be drinking blue Kool-Aid, but if they do somehow get the number one draft pick this year, there is a guy out there named Kayvon Thibodeau who's like an elite pass rusher, and that is something the Lions have been missing for a very long time. It was very evident in this game that we didn't have.
Yes,
sure.
Even when Akar is in there, I wouldn't say he's an elite pass rusher by any means. And then he only plays.
He's definitely our best pass rusher.
Right.
And now now he tore his Achilles. I don't know what's going on with the Achilles and the
Thibodeau
Lions
guy.
Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon.
Where is he? He's
Where
in school
he?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about draft picks again?
I said the draft.
Hey, you know, it turned out Aquara, his Achilles was his Achilles.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh. Wow. Oh, man.
Wow. Oh. I think we might have just lost a few subscribers after that comment.
Oh, boy.
But we gained a few as well, I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I don't feel like I got much brighter from that, but that was, I'll give you props for it.
I'll give you props, reluctantly.
And then another big injury in this game, Frank Ragnow goes down early in the game as well. Yeah. So having him and Decker out now, although I will say Dan Brown, our backup center, didn't do a bad job.
He was okay, actually. Yeah. Not too bad.
Even Ragnow had an off game.
He had a good run game.
Who, Dan Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so.
Have we talked about defense yet?
No, we're getting there.
No,
kind of. We talked about Aquara.
I thought you'd say an offense about, and then stand transfer to defense. Someone else on offense, though, that actually had a career high at least was Amon-Ra St. Brown out there for 51 snaps. Seemed to get to the open spot, too, a lot in this game. So I think that's a big step up for him, especially against a good defense. So I did like seeing that. And he did get open on that last fourth down play. So six catches for 70 yards on 8 targets. So 6 out of 8. That's really good, especially for the young.
Yeah. He's finding some good space out there too, even on double teams. Like that's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The one guy I thought
another brick in the making.
A guy that I thought I could played better in this game though was TJ Hockenson. I didn't think he quite stepped up in this game. His blocking was atrocious.
I thought he got manhandled a bit in this game. Like they went after him hard.
He was better second half, I think.
He got bullied a little bit early on. Yes, I agree. Early on though, he was getting beat up. They went hard. They went aggressive and violent, and he wasn't ready for it.
Yeah,
defenses have targeted him, and it's kind of worked the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it absolutely has. He's their
the
biggest
best
weapon.
Player we have.
He's really the only weapon in most people's eyes.
Well, him or Swift, it's up in the.
And Swift has been a
Swift is the next.
Our running game is still legit, you know. Our running game.
Williams looked great. And
definitely, 14 carries for 66 yards, but the Lions get down so big that they can't miss. Keep the run game going in all these games usually.
Yeah, I think those guys are only going to get better too. I do like our running back combination a lot.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would say the one main thing we're missing is a true number one receiver. A game breaker, I guess. I still think Cephas could potentially be that, but he's maybe not there. But, like, a couple times, a guy we haven't talked about yet really is Raymond getting 2 touchdowns and being pretty excellent. And he gets
missed.
Yeah,
he's a shifty little receiver.
He's got
and honestly,
potential.
He probably could have had more if Goff hit him on a few plays. Yeah. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, too, on the deep pass on the offsides call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, that's what I want to say.
Those are the ones you got hit. Those are the ones that Aaron Rodgers, you know, the elite quarterbacks hit. Aaron Rodgers.
You're right. But Big Z, you were talking to me earlier about how come Stafford goes over to the Rams and can instantly hit it off and with these receivers. Well, these receivers have all been playing in that scheme for what, like 5-6 years? All these receivers are new, so that's why I'm not ready to trash on them yet. These guys are all growing together. I'm telling you, this team is going to look so different in the next phases of this season. It's going to grow, and they're going to look much better just based on what I've seen so far. The talent's there. What's not there is the polish. It's the coordination. It's everyone knowing their role and executing. That's where we're failing on this team. And it's, I mean, then, you know,
back to the Patricia era, huh? Got to execute.
Wow.
No!
Dagger time!
Don't play these games
Dagger
with
time.
Me. No.
That was an impassioned take, but I think the talent level is low. But
it is
low
definitely
in some
low.
Places.
It's
good
low
talent overcomes those issues, I think.
Yeah.
And it will in time. It will.
So is Jared Goff the long-term answer after 4 games? I would say no. But will he be our quarterback for the next 2 years? Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing about Dan Campbell?
I don't think he's long-term.
I'm really glad
there's
a video of him twerking at a bar didn't get leaked like it did for Urban Meyer after the Jags 0-4 start. I don't know if you guys saw that, but
that
looked pretty embarrassing.
That was a weird video.
So I'm glad Dan Campbell's not doing that.
Urban
at least.
Meyer's. I'm glad.
Lap dance.
I'm glad he's not generally compared to Urban Meyer at the moment. So that's good. Yeah.
Let's move now to the defensive side of the ball where that things got interesting. So positives. Will Harris got benched for a decent portion of this game.
that's
a positive is a negative. That our starting safety is terrible. So
But at least it was a step in the right direction. I mean, in terms
wait,
of
how is that
he's
a
terrible.
Positive?
He's been so bad.
I don't understand.
He was your player on the rise like a week ago. Why is that a positive?
No, he was my dark horse defensive MVP just because I thought maybe this is the right system for him. And nope, goodbye. I don't want to see him on the team anymore. I was, you know.
Oh my god, that angle he took on that run from Fields.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Brutal.
And this is nothing new. This is nothing new.
He always takes bad angles in plays. He's just, I don't know what it is.
It's like the angles he takes is like, ooh, I want to like look like I'm about to make a play, but I really don't want to make the play, you know?
Yeah,
like,
kind of.
Let me just show that I was like kind of there, but I never get there or want to actually make the tackle.
Is Will Harris is like got like a senator for an uncle or something, or like someone, you know, really high ranking in the government that like pulled some strings? Because like the first team that drafted him just like forced him into that role of starting safety, and he never. Kyle Menke wrote a nice article about how he had like an improbable or inexplainable like just rise in the NFL to this point where he got all these starts but has really never shown any sign of deserving them. And it's weird.
Right. I mean, he must be a really good practice player because the Lions really like him in practice to pretty much trade Diggs away.
Yeah.
And then and now this past offseason, we heard nothing but high praise from him and getting all the reps early on in the season. But when it comes to game time, I don't know if something just clicks off or what, but he must really show a lot in practice to get all this confidence.
They need something
staff.
Back there, though.
Seriously.
Harris is not the steadying force that I think the Lions might think he is.
I didn't think he was going to be. I thought Dean Marlowe was going to be the starter initially.
And he might be going forward.
I mean,
it's not like Dean Marlowe
hasn't really been great either.
A wondrous player either. No.
I don't think he's been good
but
in practice.
It can't be worse. Than Will Harris. Sure. So. I mentioned Thibodeau, but also if the Lions somehow end up in the top five of the draft, Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame is like a player that can change an entire defense. A game changing safety is somebody that can change an entire defense. I'm just throwing that name out there, but we can talk draft later.
Put him next to Tracy Walker. Can you imagine?
On the plus side of the defense, let me give my shout out to Ali McNeil.
The
coaches
awesome.
Were impressed with his performance.
I love him.
Nice.
And, he was our highest rated defensive player in this game per PFF.
Wow. It's
kind of played 21 snaps, 17 against the run, only 4 against the pass rush, but really high. Did really good against the run.
That'd be nice if he could be like a long term piece there. You know, like a solid quality player. As we build that lineup,
that's got to be what they're hoping. So. They're building this
absolutely.
Team in the draft.
Did I didn't notice? Did Anzarike do anything of note?
I didn't notice him.
No, I didn't notice
which
him.
Is probably
I noticed Barnes on one play.
Rewatching the game, I did see him in a couple one on. But going back to Anzarike, I did just rewatching. If you go back, and he has a couple one on ones where he just kind of gets stalemated at the line on the pass rush, and that's what I don't want.
That's
see.
Rookie. That's rookie that's stuff right there.
Yeah,
that's just not having the technique to handle those the best.
I hope so. I hope it's just being a rookie. But someone that did play good again on limited snaps was Julian Aquara, especially against the pass.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll give him more chances. I mean, he only played 12 snaps in this game. I think he's not very good against the run. I think that's why they don't have him out there a lot. But, I mean, he was out there for 7 runs and 5 passes in this game. So
that's why we got 2 Aquaras in case one of them breaks.
Oh, my God.
Replaceable parts or something. Yeah. You take the parts off of one.
I need another Aquara back here. Oh, I got one.
Hey Julian, I got to borrow your Achilles. We need to put it on your brother.
He's the better player.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, and then Austin Bryant played, and he stepped up. He's the guy that got all the reps when Aquara went out. As far as the opposite edge rusher.
Yeah, and Campbell was impressed with him. He was talking about him in the press conference.
Yeah, he's finally healthy. We're finally getting to see a little bit of him.
Yeah.
There's a matter of time until his pec or shoulder gives out again. I hope not.
And yet more of these young guys getting a chance to learn under fire and prove themselves. This is what's exciting to see.
That's what Campbell was saying, you know, because, you know, Flowers being out, he's like, this is we have a lot of good young players that are getting to get reps now, and that's he was kind of excited about that. So mm-hmm. plus yes. side of the injury.
If he can just keep the attitude strong on that team, they'll be all right. They'll get through a lot of this stuff, keeping the attitude up, you know.
And it's tough as the losses mount.
Well, yeah, it does make it tough
for us doing this pod, but like if they can maintain that,
right?
But that's okay.
Yeah. He just got to get them to see the big picture and what they're building toward. Exactly. And if they do, they'll be fine. They'll be
okay. That's what I mean by when you say the most important thing about these losses, are they biting kneecaps? Are they growing? Are they learning? Are they taking key lessons away from every one of these losses to add to their arsenal that's going to make them a better team as this season goes on? And that's what biting kneecaps like it's like the philosophy, man.
I would say there were no kneecaps bitten during the Bears game. Maybe the other 3 weeks.
I don't know about that.
The other 3 weeks, I think they fought till the end. I think the Bears.
Well, Panay Sewell gave a few kneecaps to the Bears this week.
I don't know. They had a lot of chances to bring that game into to heal and win it, but they just couldn't execute. They couldn't get. Yeah, couldn't execute. I said it. What? I don't care if it's an old quote from a bad time, but
someone else that
the
got
important thing is that they grow. I don't know.
Someone else that got benched in this game briefly was a Bobby Price as well, especially after he got burned by Mooney right down the sideline. If you watch the replay too, I'm not sure what he was doing in his coverage. He just kind of stood there waiting for him to run by, and then he's like, "Oh, I better go," and then it was too late. And then of course, no safety help over top. So
right.
Because Justin Fields in this game, I wasn't like he made a couple nice throws, like the one down the sideline between the two defenders, sure. But I think overall, I wasn't like, okay, this.
He's
guy
shown
is
flashes.
Gonna, you know, we're gonna fear him for like the remainder of his career.
No touchdown passes.
I mean, he's gonna be a bust. He's an Ohio State quarterback. He's gonna be a bust, and he's.
They had a good game plan. They had a good game plan to set him up for success in that game, and they kind of punched. Because you know what we talked about. The three, red zone stalls. But let's talk about how our defense got punched straight in the jaw. Oh, I'm sorry, Big Z, four. And the Lions got punched straight in the freaking jaw by the Bears offense out the gate. They marched right down and scored. And it was like very little resistance. I mean, granted, the defense tightened up and stuff as they went on. But, like, that was like, you can't let that happen. And then it happened twice. But, like, that was – they set it up for Fields. They had a nice combination of run and pass, and they attacked our defense well, and they just had us off balance from the beginning.
I was mad on that fourth
so
and
Fields
short.
Was able to execute comfortably. Go on.
A.J. Parker had a clean shot off the edge on that fourth and short and put a pretty weak tackle attempt on Montgomery there. And A.J. Parker, he is what an undrafted rookie, free agent, playing their slot corner. And I thought he started off the season all right and looked good in preseason, but his lack of talent, I think, is showing a little bit lately.
Wait.
And I don't know if he's a long term piece either. At least, I mean, again, he's a rookie. He can
Who's
grow a 41? Lot.
41.
Yeah, he's 41. Yep.
Yeah, he made another really nice play I saw later in the game or at some point where he totally destroyed a run play. I don't know. I think I see some like, upside there.
I mean, yeah, he had two tackles this game. I mean, he's what we got. So he's going to be getting a lot of snaps going forward.
Yeah, just got to keep learning, baby. Learn. Grow.
Yeah, I was really hoping the Lions could pick up that fumble that Charles Harris caused in this game late in that game.
Oh,
right there. That was a little bit of a bummer.
That was a great effort by him to get that, cause that.
Yeah, our only sack of the game against a team that gave up 9 sacks.
Been a nice offseason signing. I want to highlight him for just a second because he's quietly had, 3 sacks in 4 games now?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, wow, what a great signing. That's bang for your buck right there. I hope he keeps that up because we need it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... Like we've been saying, there's a lot of the Lions have the youngest roster, I believe, in the NFL right now as starting roster. I don't know if it's overall, but definitely starting roster, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And it shows at times. But
it does.
What we have seen is that this team will fight till the end of the game, and that's a good sign at the very least.
Yeah, have you seen our punt team? We got the best punt team in the league.
We do have the best punter in the league.
That's pretty dope.
Not sure about the best kicker, but the best punter, yes.
Maben is sure. is fire on those.
Jalen Reeves
Maben barely played special teams. He only had three special teams snaps all game because he's been playing linebacker more.
Wow. He's making some plays. I hope he keeps getting that. I want to keep seeing that experiment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been asking for it for years, so now we're getting it. And he's all right. Last week, really good against the Ravens. This week, just okay.
Yeah, no one looked too all great, I would say, overall in this game.
Right. Right. The Lions, four times inside the 10, can't convert. And that's probably what we'll take away from this. But hopefully they just get right back at it. And then next week, this is a tough schedule this year. Even the Vikings at 1-3, we're going on the road. We've always had a tough time with the Vikings.
I don't know what it is.
They're a holding call and a fumble from being 3-1. So,
oh jeez,
they've kind of given off some Lions energy themselves this year. I feel like the Vikings.
Yes.
No, we're not doing that. We're not using Lions as a synonym bad.
Some
I'm
Patricia
sorry.
Lions
we can't
energy.
Do it.
How about that?
Yeah.
This is drinking the blue Kool-Aid.
Can I throw a question out to you guys?
Yeah,
of course.
Please.
What do you guys think of Anthony Lynn? I'm kind of impressed with him. I think he calls a pretty balanced game.
I like Anthony.
I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of talent, but I kind of like him so far.
I question again. So I question some of his third and fourth and short play calling. That's where it really sticks out to me as far as his play calling.
Me too, but I do agree with you, Bobby. He calls a pretty decent game, I think, overall.
Because I thought we were running
like
the ball
you said,
really well.
Some of those fourth downs should have been converted. It was just on.
The
play call.
Yeah, but you got to know your personnel.
When you need one yard,
if it doesn't work, you didn't follow
missing
right
a wide open pass is not personnel.
But all those things are questionable, and I'd say overall, I think he's doing a pretty solid job of keeping this offense. We're just getting so many fluky errors. I don't know.
But Connor, I think you got to know your personnel. We saw it the week or 2 weeks before that in the Packers game. It didn't work that out on the short fourth and short.
But that out was.
But wait, we were just talking 20 minutes ago about how it was all Goff's fault. The play call was good. Now you're saying the play call is bad. I'm confused.
Yeah, he had an open.
I'm saying if you're the play caller,
you literally were talking about how he had Cephas wide open, so the play call wasn't bad.
Yeah, it's hard to discern.
You just it was Goff's fault. Now it's
Goff didn't make the
right
decision.
You're like a shapeshifter. You're like whoever's fault needs to be for right then.
Hold on, Z.
I'm saying, from Anthony Lynn's perspective, it's a bad play call.
Because it didn't work? Is that the only reason?
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But if the play it draws up successfully and the player fucks it up, I feel like that's not on the coordinator.
I was initially pissed because I thought they called no route like right in front of him. Like, why not try to play like the middle of the field where when you got that short of a distance to go? And then
he had an
out
option
route,
in the middle of the field.
And then
that's
I see a picture later and Cephas is like standing right in front of him wide open. And I'm just like, why? And I guess that's Goff. So I don't know how
that's
Lynn's fault. Though that was the primary read, I would assume, the out route. I don't know. But
even like Big Z said earlier, the
out
route was open.
If he hits it. Yeah,
it was open. It was open, and maybe I'm talking on both ends. But maybe I'll revise my statement then.
The real question is for Bob.
Yeah, we need
doubled her when he changed his statement at the end.
We need to do a segment where we do a
Harry Potter quote of the week.
Kool-Aid court where we have a judge and we bring arguments about how to view certain aspects of the game, like. For instance, UJ was most upset that we it was the three pass rushers, right? Or no, what was yours?
Yeah,
UJ?
On fourth
was
and 19,
three
yeah.
pass rusher, yeah.
Yeah,
I think everyone was outraged
where
by that.
Mine was, I was most upset the way how conservative they went when they got into the red zone to settle for the field goal and still leave time on the clock for the other team. And that was like a, you know, there was like a lot of argument that we should have a court on this podcast. And we could have like
debate,
a
like the big
debate. Listeners, what do you think?
What we do?
Well, let's just do a poll right now on the 4th and 1 at the end.
Yeah,
would
but
you
we
guys
organize
have
a little
goal?
More. Like, you know,
I would not have.
You would have gone for it on 4th and 1.
Yes.
On which one? What,
on the last 4th and 1, when they went for it on the out route and missed, would you guys have gone for it, or would you have kicked the field goal? If you were head coach.
If I were the coach, I would have kicked it, but I appreciate what they did.
I would have
probably
kind of with Bob on that one.
I'm okay with going for it, but I probably would have kicked it just because then I know I got a better chance.
I wouldn't have done a hurry up play, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
The hurry up on the 4th down was bizarre.
Wait, Connor, would you have gone for it or not gone for it?
I would have gone for it. I would have done it differently. So but the idea
3 would have kicked, 2 would have gone for it.
Yeah.
That's the poll that you put.
This is a democracy. So therefore
court is closed.
kick wins.
It's kangaroo court.
Uh-oh.
But I am upset that we've seen that situation, that play call twice, and it's not worked twice. That's a little.
Third time's a charm. You'll see it next week.
Yes. And this time we'll throw it over the middle, and a linebacker will be standing there.
I mean, speaking of next week, there are a lot of weeks still left in the season.
A lot of what?
A lot of weeks still left in the season. 13
and a quarter of the way
through. And a bye. So, I mean, there's still plenty of time to win some football games here and learn from these experiences.
For sure.
Yeah, we still get the playoffs.
I'm still excited. I'm not disheartened. I'm not devastated. I'm excited to see where the team goes next week.
So, you know how most coaches, they'll take, like, the season and break it into quarters or whatever?
That was a Patricia.
No.
Yeah, Patricia did that.
No, he's not the only one that's done that. I've seen other coaches do that.
No, you're right.
Schwartz used to talk about that, too. But anyway. Now that with the 17th game, they're gonna have to do it after the 4th game and the first quarter.
That's right. That's right.
Then they stop and reassess where
at
they
the
are.
At the TV timeout, they reassess.
So yeah,
that's gonna be a rushed meeting. I hope they know what they say.
Oh boy, that's a good point though.
Maybe they use artificial intelligence.
So does the game plan like completely change a quarter in next week? Like it's just a new game plan
I think
the first quarter?
Yeah.
For the meta strategy?
Yeah, because they'll be reassessing and then their different philosophy.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Next week, I hope we at least score 3 points in the first half because the last 2 games we've been shut out in the first half. So I would like to see some points on the board.
After going off in Green Bay in the first half, what the heck is up with this team?
Yeah. Do you think it's like, you know, they're like, all right, let them run. You know, give them a little head start. And then they're like, okay, now we go. You know, like,
yeah,
give them
exactly.
Like 20 points first.
Exactly.
But then when they take the lead, they have to do that twice.
Then we realize we don't have the talent to just score at will, and we lose. That's the only reason we've lost so far.
Well, gentlemen, the Packers 3-1. Bears moved to 2-3, Vikings 1-3, Lions 0-4. There's only 2 winless teams now in the NFL, the Lions and the Jaguars.
I like the way you called the Bears 2-3.
Yeah.
Or 2-2. Sorry.
You're anticipating next week.
They will be 2-3 after next week. I
like that.
Probably.
I do. I'm okay with that, Z. Say it again.
All right. So, gentlemen, I think that's going to wrap it up here. Again, Lions lose 24-14 to the Bears. They will be traveling to Minnesota next week. That's a noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern kickoff. And hopefully they can make some adjustments, get pissed off. As But the Lions, hopefully nobody else gets major injuries. And hopefully it doesn't look like Ragnow or Decker will be back either next week.
Yeah. No.
Decker's, what did he do to that finger in a practice? Like,
I know, right?
What did he do?
I think 2 weeks
That'll
from
nice
now he'll be back.
Can he not play? Can they not wrap it up and play?
By the way, I want to highlight. I'm sorry, Z. I don't know. He has a bad finger, and it's probably just, you know, precaution at this point. But anyway, did anyone see the article? Anyone see the article about how Sewell is taking the idea of going back to right tackle? He's taking it. I just saw it. He was interviewed, and they asked him, you know, when Decker comes back, what do you see? He's like, well, I'll probably move back to right tackle, and this guy's legit. He's a proven star, stud. And like, but I just respect, like, that humility. He's not wrong, but, like, have you seen too many NFL players that are so full of themselves they can't see past, you know. He's not Titus Younging it and been like, I should be Taylor Decker.
I mean, Decker is clearly a better
I'm better than Calvin.
There's just no debate about that.
At this point, right. Whereas Sewell will probably be, could be better overall, but, you know, we don't know yet. But, yes, exactly. The humility there, though, it was just nice to see that it won't be like an ego problem for him.
Right.
You know, whereas Decker's earned a bit of an ego at this stage, I'd say.
Humility is something we're not that familiar with on this podcast because we are the greatest podcast.
Wait, we're the most human, most...
Oh, we're most humble?
The most humble, yes.
We're the most humble, but the greatest.
We don't realize how great we are.
We're so humble.
We're so humble.
All right, gentlemen. I think that's going to wrap it up. So Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on this Lions team. Are you still drinking the Kool-Aid? I hope you are. We're only 4 games in the season. It's a long way. No need to stop drinking it right now.
Sure.
Apple, keep growing, baby.
Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. We always greatly appreciate it.
Indeed.
Otherwise, gentlemen, listeners, hope you all have a great start to your week. We'll be back later this week previewing Week 5, again, where the Lions are traveling to Minnesota for our third NFC North game already.
To eat up some Vikings.
Oh, by Brader there, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota.
It's like Fargo.
All right. Yeah. So, gentlemen, listeners, thank you for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Woo! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.